It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. How is the Republican agenda playing and working out in Washington state? President Trump has been slumping in the opinion polls. Even the one poll he tweeted about last week that showed him at a 50% approval rating, that one's back to 48% today, lower here in Washington state. Let's talk national and local politics with our state's Republican chair, Susan Hutchinson. Welcome back to KUOW.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here.
What are Washington Republicans saying to you about President Trump?
They like him. They really do. If there's anything, people are frustrated with Congress not moving faster, but we all know that Congress moves at a glacial pace because it takes a lot of people to put together legislation. But we get a lot of letters from Republicans because we send out a lot of letters asking for their support. And most everyone we get is very positive about the president.
How do you know how accurate a gauge that is? Because President Trump got 38% in Washington state, and his approval ratings nationally, I don't know whether you poll in Washington state about President Trump, but he's not doing any better in the opinion polls than he was. What makes you think Washington Republicans are supportive?
Well, because Republicans voted for Donald Trump. There's no question that the vast majority of them did. And now, as they watch him implement his agenda, I think they're overall quite pleased with how things are going.
Did you vote for President Trump?
I did.
And any regrets?
No.
Okay. A former person, someone who used to hold your job, a former state Republican chair, Chris Vance, told us that he thinks that you're being too supportive of President Trump.
Too many Republicans have abandoned their principles, abandoned their consciences, become Vichy Republicans, and are working with the Trump administration because they think that's the only way to hold the Republican Party together. When you're a member of a legislative body, which I've been, you look very much to your party's leadership. What's our plan? What are we doing? What's the team going to do? To break with the team takes courage, and it's unusual. Right now, I think a lot of Republicans are just sticking with the team, even though they're becoming more and more uncomfortable. But you know what? I don't care if they're uncomfortable. This is the time to stand up and forget your party. Be an American. Stand up for the Constitution. The heck with your party's leadership. They're wrong. They're morally compromised.
So this is Chris Vance's numbers case, and I'll let you respond, is that Trump got 21% in King County. Bill Bryant, the Republican who ran against Governor Inslee, got 32% in King County. He says if a statewide candidate can't get 40% in King County, they can't win. He says the numbers don't add up. It's impossible. It's math. You can't get a majority in the House and Senate and can't win statewide if you continue to support Trump. What's your case?
Well, I just ran across this weekend a headline from the day after I was elected chairman of the state party. And the headline says, Hutchinson to lead, in quotes, ragtag army of GOP. And that was almost 4 years ago. And I can tell you that our Republican Party in Washington state is very united. And I've often said that we're a patchwork quilt of opinions on every issue you can think of. But when it comes to where we agree wholeheartedly and where we vote together is the future of America. And we want the American opportunity to prevail. And that's why people voted for Donald Trump nationwide. They were afraid that the America that allows every child born to access the American dream was slipping away. And so that's why Republicans support our president. And I think as we go forward, you know, the election was the election. There were a lot of prominent Republicans in this state who did not support the presidential candidate that the Republicans had chosen. But my job is to elect Republicans, good Republicans, to work with good Democrats to do good for the people of Washington state. And so that's my focus. And I'll tell you, we've got the greatest group of legislators in the state legislature that we've probably ever had on the Republican side.
Do you have Republicans lined up to run against Senator Maria Cantwell or a Democratic House member or for King County Executive?
Well, I think the King County Executive race, we'll just have to wait and see. But people are talking all over the place about Maria Cantwell's position, and we'll have plenty of candidates willing to step up to that race. And that's coming up now in about a year and a half.
Okay, I want to pose a question from our Facebook page. But before I leave that topic, Chris Vance, former state Republican chair, is he a good Republican, bad Republican? Anything you want to say? I'm curious what you think about someone who held your job before, you know, kind of railing, saying, no, you got to get off the Trump train.
Well, you know, people rail for different reasons. Uh-huh. And I just don't even think about it was more than 12 years ago that he was our chairman. And since then, we've had three other chairmen since Chris and
Kirby
so,
Wilbur
and Luke Esser.
Uh-huh.
And Diane Tibelius. So we've had a lot of leadership, and we've seen the, you know, the party go one way or another. When I took over the party, things were need a little help. And so I've been really privileged to have been part of helping make that happen.
Here's a question for Washington State's Republican Party Chair Susan Hutchinson from our Facebook page. Lucia says, why is the Republican Party hiding the health care bill they're working on? You've heard about this. Even some Senate Republicans are complaining they don't know what's in this bill. What do you think?
Well, the bill that was passed out of the House is for anybody to read. In fact, there was a website called Read the Bill. And now they're in negotiations in the Senate. And I know that if there were any Democrats who were willing to negotiate and work on the health care bill, which they all should, they would be very welcome in the negotiation. So, you know, there's no question that there is a very odd culture right now of leaking. And the leaking is always against the Republicans and always against the president. And so, you know, I don't blame Republicans for wanting to be careful about who they talk to, because leaks are not very often accurate and they're very partisan. And we know that Senator Chuck Schumer has already declared that no Democrats are going to work on health care reform. Well, that's just so counterproductive. We don't need that kind of rhetoric inside our Senate. We've got to fix the situation we have called Obamacare. Everybody knows it. And, you know, people just have to swallow their pride and get the job done.
So if Democrats were to take control of Congress, you're good with this same process. You don't have a beef with the keeping things relatively secret.
Well, I don't think secret is the word. I think that, as I said, anyone who wants to get involved in the negotiations will be part of negotiations from either side of the aisle.
There is news today about health care in Washington State. Health insurance rates here overall are rising. State officials say health insurers have proposed an average rate hike of 22%. And in two counties, Klickitat and Grays Harbor, no health insurer has filed plans. What's your reaction to that?
Well, this is what the president has been saying for months, what the Republicans have predicted for years, and that is that Obamacare was non-sustainable. This is the problem. You cannot pretend that there's a goose that's laying a golden egg every time you need money to fund a very extravagant health care program. And so that is why good Democrats and good Republicans should be working together to solve the problem of reforming health care to a program that works for everyone.
Here's the health care that President Trump promised Americans will get.
Everybody's got to be covered. This is an un-Republican thing for me to say, because a lot of times they say, no, no, the lower 25%, they can't afford private. But
universal health care.
I am going to take care of everybody. I don't care if it costs me votes or not. Everybody's going to be taken care of much better than they're taken care of now.
Who pays for it?
The government's going to pay for it, but we're going to save so much money on the other side. But for the most part, it's going to be a private plan, and people are going to be able to go out and negotiate great plans with lots of different competition, with lots of competitors, with great companies, and they can have their doctors, they can have their plans, they can have everything.
Everyone will be taken care of much better than they are now. Lots of competitors, you can have your doctor, your plan, and everything. And President Trump has said he's not going to cut Medicaid and Medicare. Can you promise those things too?
Well, it sounds pretty good to me. Doesn't it sound good to you?
Sounds wonderful.
He said that as a candidate. I believe that's a soundbite from when he was running for office. Is that accurate?
That's a good question. I don't remember. Why is that important?
Well, because candidates say some things and then they come up with reality and they realize that it's a little bit harder than words. So I agree that the concepts are right. Healthcare for everyone, competition, extremely important, and the entire country is happy with the solution. So that's what we need. We're looking for unity, we're looking for coverage, and we're working for competition, which brings prices down.
But are you saying that President Trump has confronted the reality that those promises are not going to come true?
No, I think it putting, you know, the words that you speak when you're on the campaign trail to legislation that is that can pass both houses and then also satisfy the American people takes a lot of work and a lot of negotiation. There are many different constituencies working on healthcare, the medical profession, the doctors, the patients, the pharmaceuticals. You know, it just goes on and on. I could probably add 10 more. Mm-hmm. All of them want to have a say and all of them want to come out winners. So this is the nuance and the deft negotiation that is required as we move forward. And, you know, one thing I think is important to remember about President Trump, if you've met him, as I have several times, you realize that he's really an interesting person because he is so interested in you. He asks you questions immediately. There's no small talk. He wants to know what you think, and then he follows up. It's not just
he was vetting you for a cabinet post.
He was asking me
or an ambassadorship.
He was asking me questions about how we can win Washington State, how we can win Oregon. What about California? We were talking about it. It wasn't small talk. It was he's fascinated with other people's opinions and other people's brain power. When you have a chance to meet him, Bill, you will like him very much. But one of the things that people don't understand about a New Yorker, now my mom's a New Yorker, so she was born in Brooklyn and raised in New York. And so I know the style, and I know that it can be very frank and brash and no nonsense. You know, you say what you mean and you mean what you say. But with Donald Trump, he has a way of starting at the negotiation point. And I always say it was an interesting thing to watch when he went to Mexico when he was still a candidate. And he came out of there and he said, the Mexicans are going to pay for the wall 100%. Well, the Mexican president responded by saying, we're going to pay zero. Well, that was the negotiation starting point. 100% on one side, zero on the other side. I can assure you the negotiation will continue and both sides will get to a point where they can meet. And that's what Donald Trump does.
If he's saying Mexicans will pay 100% and in healthcare you're going to get everything you want, and you say that's just the starting point, that's the opposite of mean what you say and frank, right? I mean, that's okay if that's what you're saying, but that's not frank and no nonsense and mean what you that's say what you don't mean and then start negotiating, right?
Well, no, I think that Donald Trump would be perfectly happy with 100% of the wall paid by the Mexicans. But
that's hope more than a promise.
When you are negotiating, you cannot start where you want to end up. And a lot of people have learned sadly that you never want to give your opponent what they want from the start, because you've got a trade. It's a trade-off. So, you know, it's the way, it's the art of the deal, and I recommend anybody read that book who hasn't read it yet. I think you'll get a lot of insights into Donald Trump. He is not your standard politician in any way, shape, or form, and I think if we just move forward and accomplish those things that are good for the nation, we will all be a lot happier with him as our president.
Washington State Republican Party Chair Susan Hutchison. Before we leave health care, only 20 Republicans in America voted against the House health care bill, and two of them were Dave Reichert and Jamie Herrera Butler here in Western Washington. Why would that be if it's such a great, great bill?
I've not talked with either one of them about that, and I'm sure that they made that decision for reasons that they can explain. I would encourage you to have both of them on your show.
Well, maybe political reasons, because this is Chris Vance's point, is that you can't pretend that Washington State Republicans are like Republicans everywhere, that you've got to moderate things. And I know he was three chairs ago, but that's the argument, that you're sticking too much to that Reichert and Butler, they're in touch with their constituents. It's their jobs on the line, and they're voting against the president.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Okay. I want to ask about a couple of local things. Seattle City Council is considering a city income tax, which right now is illegal by state law, if it's even constitutional. But why shouldn't the state let cities have local control? I know Republicans value local control. Would you be okay with a city income tax? Or would you support the state allowing local municipalities to decide whether they want an income tax?
Oh, I think it's a terrible mistake. just a terrible
mistake. An income tax is, or allowing local governments to have it is a bad mistake.
Well, you can't allow local governments to have an income tax. That's absurd.
There are cities with income taxes.
Name one.
Doesn't San Francisco have an income tax?
Well, they may have taxes, but I've never heard it called an income tax. You know, the bottom line is that Seattle has not proven by any way, shape, or form that they know how to spend money. I think the situation with the homeless in the city, and that number growing and growing, and the number of deaths with overdoses and so forth, they can't spend the money they already have assigned to dealing with homelessness and addiction. Why in the world would we give them more money to waste? And that's, you know, that's where we start. But other than that, it is an illegal idea tax, that tax. And so it's absurd to think, and as our city council, I live in Seattle, I've lived here for more than 35 years. Our city council thinks that they're above the law. Our city council thinks they're smarter than the people. They think they're smarter than the representatives of the people that are working on issues in the state capitol. And it offends me tremendously, and it offends a lot of people. I was with some folks at an auction this weekend, a charity auction, and several of them said, I would move immediately out of Seattle if they implemented an income tax. But here's the thing that everybody should be concerned about. When you have an income tax, whether it's in your state or at the federal level, you have an entire bureaucracy that has to be built up so that they can handle every single person filing what their income is. We've never done that in our state. And so that is why these little foot-in-the-door attempts by the Democrats to tax capital gains income.
It's a state-level proposal.
It is. And that the Democrats have tried to do that several times. We consider it an income tax, especially an income tax on retirees who are living off money that they invested long ago in McDonald's and other companies that they put their money in for old age. When they start selling it, then they have to pay this tax above what the federal government requires.
Lots of states have income taxes. You're okay with Washington State being a relatively regressive tax state. Is that working? I mean, it's so hard to fund education. Look at the education.
Well, we've got a budget right now on the table that funds education fully. Funds it fully without an income tax. Now, let me tell you that Washington State is the second most taxed per capita state west of the Mississippi. That includes a lot of states. You can guess it, California. Uh-huh. We're second to only California, and we don't have an income tax. I guarantee you, if they add an income tax on top of the highest sales tax in the country.
What if they lowered the sales tax? Then you're on board.
Oh, I haven't seen a single proposal that says we should lower the sales tax.
Okay.
But you know what? A lot of companies move here because of the tax environment. And I think that's important to remember. A lot of people are moving to Texas. A lot of people have moved to Tennessee. Tennessee is booming. They do not have a state income tax. People realize they pay a lot of taxes. They can feel it at every turn. And so especially in this populous area of the three counties where we're now paying for Sound Transit at huge rates.
Let's pause it there. We've got so much to watch together, Susan, with the figuring out this state Supreme Court decision on funding education, and we've got a budget to write, and we'll see what happens with President Trump and everything he's dealing with. We've been talking with the chair of the Washington State Republican Party, Susan Hutchison. Good to see you again. Thank you for this.
Thank you, Bill. I'd love to come back and be with you.
Well, then we'll see you soon.
Okay.
More of KUOW's The Record coming up.